That's what somebody once said. To get wisdom and to get ahead. So I searched myself on Google, that is. Now I don't know what is myself or his. There's a guy who has my name, a guy who isn't me. He makes music, which is a shame, 'cause I make music now. You see where this whole thing is going to. Since our name's the same, no way of knowing who it is gonna be. Me or the other Brian Woodberry. That other guy who took my name, I had it long before. Hey, I won't let him usurp my fame. If he persists, then this is war. 'Cause I'm the prior Brian here. Would you mind if he should cede his claim to me, the pioneer? I deserve it for me, not the other Brian Woodberry. Me, not some trombone playing wannabe. Why is he a musician too? You think one was enough? While he gets knocked for what I do, I get credit for his son. Name not terribly uncommon, both first and last, onto which he's glomming. No nom de plume for him, so I'm bombing this homonym, that homonym.
Mother-daughter hosts of the show and also publishers of Big Blend Magazines, a group of digital publications, and also full-time travelers on the Love Your Parks tour. And you just heard The Other Brian Woodberry, written by The Other Brian Woodberry, The Brian Woodberry, and featured on his album called Rhapsody and Filigree, which is the fourth and final volume of the Anthems and Antithets. I can never do these kinds of words. Brian, you're trying to kill me. The series releases, well, there's three albums, right, that are out now. So the fourth one Okay, Rhapsody in Filigree comes out on the 25th of July, but you can get a box set, I believe. So everybody wants that. Go to brianwoodbury.com. Brian, welcome to the show. How are you?
Very good. Thank you for having me.
Hey, this is, you know what, you're so lucky your last name's not Smith. You'd have to do a lot of music.
Yeah, I'm right in that sweet spot where I can Google myself and usually find myself. And this song kind of came about when I Googled myself, as one does, and then and I came across this other musician with my same name doing not exactly the kind of thing I do, but not entirely different. So that, you know,
wow.
there was some confusion possible, and all the streaming services had conflated us and mixed, you know, we were on the same playlists as Brian Woodbury. And so it was confusing and infuriating. And so I got in touch with the other Brian Woodbury.
No way. Oh, wow.
We tried to straighten the whole thing out. We, you know, and you can't really get through to YouTube
no.
At least I can't, you know, you can't just call Spotify and say, excuse me, you've made a mistake here. So, you know, we tried that. And then I thought, you know, I said sort of as a joke,
funny.
It would be funny if we made a song together. And he thought it was funny, too. And then I actually came back to him a couple of months later and said, all right, let's do this song together. So we wrote this, and he played the trombones and arranged all
that's
the trombones
awesome.
On it, and we put it on
cool.
on this album. So that's how.
Funny.
I love it.
Cool.
I love it. You know, it's like we've done interviews with Johnny Mastro on the Mama's Boys. He's an incredible blues band.
Uh-huh.
That we met on Venice Beach. Like,
oh, that's great.
And now they're in New Orleans. But then I interviewed the leader of the Mama's Boys in Ireland, Pat, and then there's the Johnny Maestro, but everybody gets everybody confused. And so we had to sit in like the Pat McCanus band, yeah, and it was now he's the Pat McCanus band, but he was the Mama's Boys way back when, and really hardcore blues, which was hard because, like, Johnny's, like, he's like Muddy Waters, Chicago, hardcore. Like, if
yeah,
Led Zeppelin
yeah.
was a blues, pure blues band, that's what they are. And so it's crazy, like, even just on our own websites, we have to go, like, this is not that band, you know?
Yeah.
It's cool when you can connect like that. Your album, and Nancy loves, she's been in your website, like, all afternoon.
Yeah,
that's
cool.
But you're as soon as
you're
I heard
welcome.
Your music, I was like, oh, my God, this is so fun. And I feel like Frank Zappa, like, would I think he would love your music. I think he
well,
would totally
thank you.
Trip out, don't you think? Like,
and we can say so. We can say so definitively because he's not around to dispute it. So
yeah, but
yes,
I think
he would
he's
love
one
it.
Of those people that would come out and say whatever.
He
like somehow he would zap me if he didn't agree. Like he would
right.
come out.
He'd find a way.
He would.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he would.
He'd pee on the snow or something and let me know. Winter. But no, I you know, was thinking about your music and a friend, you know, we do this, we pet it as we travel the country. It was like a way to be safe in COVID. And,
uh-huh.
you know, and it's our favorite thing. We love animals. But so one of the couples we sat for, they went to New York City recently, came back home and brought us, because we talked about eating really bad, you know, junk food on the road when we drive
yeah.
these crazy distances.
It's hard to
and
avoid.
And they went to the M&M store in New York City and brought this giant bag of M&M's. I've never seen anything like it in my
oh,
life.
Dear.
All these different types and flavors. And I like we drove and we were like at 6 in the morning, sunrise, sitting with this bag of M&M's in a park. Because that's what we do, document parks and public land. And Nancy and I are looking at each other and go, do we dare do this for breakfast? I mean, we've been up for hours. Let's do it. But each one is different, and it's this amazing surprise, but each one is good. And that is your music. You have so many amazing, delicious surprises in your music. I don't know how you make this all work because
well,
you're
so
full
much.
Of surprises, but it's flowing. And how do you do that where you can have that much but not lose us? That's wild to me.
Well, you know, I guess I get bored easily, so I kind of want to go from one thing to the next. I have a little notebook where I collect my, you know, just thoughts, and I often try to, you know, I try to make songs that are not on, you know, songs about topics that people don't normally write songs about.
Yeah.
So, you know, keep up. So, I mean, and I mean, I love songs that many, many people have written songs about, and I think those are great. You know, it's a great thing to write a brilliant love song or whatever. But I, for this album in particular, I wanted to, you know, write about, you know, just sort of unusual but understandable things. You know, so I wrote about Lord Byron and his famous swim, but not being able to quite remember what the swim was, and you know, where whether he swam the Dardanelles or the Hellespont or whatever, you know, sort of. And then, you know, there's songs about how the moon was formed, and you know, when a protoplanet crashed into the Earth, and the debris formed of the present Earth and our moon. And, you know, so, I mean, these are, you know, I don't think anybody else has written songs really about that kind of thing, but it just interests me. And, you know, and I really wanted to make this varied and, you know, musically varied and just so different styles for every
See,
song.
It's the M&Ms, because you get big M&Ms and you get these little ones. And so, like, you know, when Byron swam, it's like a little nugget, you know. It's like this, like, what? And then you think about it. It's like, I think people need to chew when they listen to this.
But
you know?
It's fairly involved. You know,
is this because you did music for children's shows? I mean, like because there's a sense of humor in your music.
Oh God, yeah, sarcasm.
Well, I guess so. Yeah, I try. You know, when I was doing a lot of songs for kids TV, you know, I try to bring the same sort of sense of fun and humor.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot you know, simpler writing for kids TV, but still it's the you know, the same kind of try to be tuneful and try to fun and positive generally.
What got you started in music? Were you writing this? Like, I want to go back because you're like, Nancy goes, like, before you came on, she goes, this dude's a genius. I know. I said, like,
yeah,
he's nuts. Like, musically nuts, but funny and cool. Like, this is insane. Like, we're both sitting there going, this is going to be a wild conversation because, you know, we got really excited about it because you've obviously, you're like, I don't know. Do you talk during movies? Do you figure stuff out before other people?
No, I'm not particularly intelligent that way. You know, I have, it's painstaking. I have to work on, like when
so
I'm
you're
writing
solo.
My stuff.
Are you a solo kind of write it out person?
No, I'm a write it out in advance kind of person. I really work on things. You know, but I mean, I can't just kind of come up with this stuff off the top of my head. And I know people who can. But, you know, I'm not an improviser when I play, you know, I can't solo on the guitar or anything like that. I like to work it out and, you know, try it a million ways until I get the right one. I will, you know, ask how I got started. I mean, I've been doing this since I was, you know, a kid. I've been writing songs since I was about 10 or 11 and, you know, just trying to get better and better.
Wow. I mean, but listen, now you've got four albums in this set. What sparked the set?
Say that again?
What sparked this whole set? Like, you've
got
four albums coming out.
So, yeah, this is the thing that I did over the pandemic, essentially. I set out to do this project called Anthems and Antithets, which I wanted to...
Thanks for saying that for me, by the way.
It's kind of a made-up word.
I don't know why. It's stuck in my head.
When I try to type it in, my computer wants it to be antithesis as well.
Yeah.
No, it's a term coined by my friend Alfred Johnson, who says that's what I do, is I write antithets because, you know, there'll be something contradictory about between one and the other, or between the, in the title, you know. For instance, like "Love Is Not the Answer" is one of the songs on one of the mm-hmm. previous volumes. You know, so you take something, you take a cliche and sort of turn it on its head. So the Anthems and Antithets project was at the suggestion of a friend of mine. He said, you know, you do these funny songs, you do these more heartfelt songs, you do these political songs, and then you do mm-hmm. these sort of wacky, weird, experimental songs. And you should make a separate album for each one of those. You know, put a comedy album. So I said, okay, I'll do that. Mm-hmm. And so I started working on that late 2019. And, you know, sort of just did a little Indiegogo campaign to get some interest in it and get some people to sort of help back it. And then I've just been the idea was to try to do it all in a year, which was foolish because it was impossible. But I did manage to get the first three albums out within 1 year. And then this last one, being more involved, took took another couple of years almost. So, but yeah, so the first one was called Levity and Novelty, and it was comedy and novelty songs. Of different kinds of comedy and novelty songs. And then the second one was called Balladry and Soliloquy, which is the sort of heartfelt,
sweet,
personal songs, or the songs that tell a story, more of a, you know, not necessarily as comic as some of the other stuff. Then the third one was Antipathy and Ideology, which was the political songs. And then this new one is the sort of arty songs. This new one is Rhapsody and Filigree.
So where did you put the small penis song?
Oh, Nancy couldn't. She had to do it.
The small penis song is actually a political song, believe it or not.
I know who got it. Well, wait a minute. That goes to a lot of people.
Well,
but there's one that you could really pin the tail on the small penis.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, you know, it's something that men are not likely to brag about. So I just thought it was something. It was sort of made a good statement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
I just
a feminist.
Say that
it's a feminist message. Let's just put it that way.
I would like a fifth album where you include the small penis song. And you call it Ribaldry, and you get John Levitt to come and hang out with you. And it's not supposed to say hang out and small penis in the same sentence. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work. But, you know, it could try. But, you know, I'm just saying, ribaldry. You've got balladry. You've got to have ribaldry. So
it's true. We haven't done that.
We need ribaldry as the next thing, you know.
What do you call body song? Body.
Oh, bodies. Yeah.
Bodery.
Yeah.
Bodery.
It's better than lobotery. I don't want any lobotomies. See, but now, okay. Have you performed these like as plays? Because I see like complete Broadway productions out of this. I mean, just even the way they're singing it.
Really?
Plus, I want to know. Oh, wait, I have to go back to ribaldry, bottlery.
That's Scottish. That's where you got it.
Penis.
You got that from the Scottish thing. Ribaldry.
Johnny Unicorn. Is he real?
Yeah, Johnny Unicorn. He's it's a stage name, but he's a musician, brilliant songwriter.
And he's got nothing to do with a small penis, I'm imagining, since he's a unicorn.
You know, I can't speak to that personally for him, but he didn't. I'm to blame for that song.
I have to mess with that because I saw Johnny Unicorn. I'm like, this is fantastic. You know, come on, it's fun. You know, it's having stage names and things like that. It's like it's a beautiful thing to have. You know, writers get to have their pen name, and then they always do. It's not just Barbara Woodhouse. I know she's a doctor. You know, I don't know why she came to name, but Barbara Woodhouse. But it would be B.L. Woodhouse. And then you're always going, like, how do you say, like, do you go, hi, B.L.? I mean,
yeah.
It's better than B.M., you know, but, like, look, how do you do that? Like, and when we do interviews with authors with those names, I'm just like, you have so screwed us up. I don't know what to say. You're only supposed to be H this, B.S., oopsie. I don't know what to say. Like, you know,
yeah.
Some people just want one letter, and I'm like, okay, you know, so.
Yeah, I guess you just call them by the letter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just say, hi, letter.
Like the letter M. That was a big deal at one point.
I know, sorry, but Johnny Unicorn, please tell him I love his name. That's fantastic.
In his defense, his actual name is John Adams. And
there's already
musicians named John Adams, and so, you know, rather than having to go by his middle name, I need to come up with a unique name. How about Johnny Unicorn? You know, so I think he did well.
It's one of the first things that flew off in my face in the page. You know what I mean? I'm just like, wow, you know. And when you think, you know, John Adams, you're gonna have to be the, you know, John Adams historically.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And
the president and the composer, and then there's another composer, John Luther Adams. I don't know. It's a pretty
and
common name.
Fourth of July comes around, you're going to go, like, are you going to stay alive, man?
I know.
Are you gonna
stay
alive?
Exactly.
So that's a hard thing. So, you know, the Theseus Rex, am I saying this? It's Theseus Rex?
Yeah, yeah.
The very first track. Because now this is seriously... That's the intro piece, which I really wanted to play as the first thing, because it goes wild. Like, it goes into, feels like everyone's temperaments in there.
Yeah,
what's
going on in the real world. It's a little mini rock opera. I mean, it's small for a rock opera, but it's long for a song.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, all in one song. It's very theatrical. It's the telling of the Theseus myth. But it's updated to starting in the sort of late 60s, where Theseus is the bastard son of Jerry Garcia from The Grateful Dead. So it's sort of this mythological, kind of wild, kind of psychedelic story about, you know, this girl, you know, she's like 16 or 17. She runs off from Anaheim, California, and moves up to San Francisco and falls in with the Haight-Ashbury crowd, and then,
cool.
And then her son, you know, is rejected by Jerry Garcia, and then goes off and becomes, you know, goes off to Afghanistan and gets mixed up fighting the Taliban, and then the war happens. So it's all this sort of grandiose, you know, stuff. I try to make it seem like sort of follow vaguely the Greek myth, but you know, it's very. It's very almost comic booky in a way. So it's wild,
but it can totally happen.
Yeah,
it's totally believable.
So that was very very much influenced by sort of the 70s prog rock bands with their, you know, big theatrical stories. Like particularly at Genesis had these great, you know, theatrical. Albums and you know that told a story of somebody or something. So.
Yeah.
By the
so
way,
it's all
video
inspired
on
by
prog
that.
Rock. Oh my God, the video that you have on your YouTube channel. Everyone,
oh,
you've got to go.
Old time prog.
Oh my God, it is perfect. It's so perfect. Just go to YouTube, Brian Woodbury Music, just to make sure you get the right Brian Woodbury Music. Honest to God, like, I cracked up at that. I love it. You're really smart, man.
Thank you. Speaking of Johnny Unicorn, he's my co-writer and co-creator on the Old Time Prog. So,
you know what? He needs a Johnny Unicorn needs a superhero outfit. He does.
He needs a cape, but it can't be around his neck and his shoulders. It's got to be around his waist.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh. I see tie-dyed.
Uh-oh.
Interesting. I mean, there's even unicorn toilet thingies, you know. But anyway, we won't go there. But
what? And just like right now, I was going to say, let's talk about Two Halves on your album. But one song that I really loved, Everybody's Gonna Be the Same. And this song, I want to play that,
man,
if you're cool with it, because
absolutely,
it really goes to something my Nana always talked about.
That.
So I want Nancy to hear it, and I want everyone to hear it, all our listeners and everyone around the world. But it's interesting. Do you want to set it up, or should we play it first? What do you want to do?
Why don't you play it?
Sweet.
Okay,
I like that.
Cool.
All right. So everybody, this is it. Everybody's going to be the same. Take a listen.
I've got a friend who's scared of the future, doesn't get Bitcoin, no social media. She likes to live her life like her life was one. I've got a friend who lives in the nostalgia back to the 80s, maybe the 60s. Nothing was realer, kicking it old school, rotary dialing, born in a retro fun. She said the past was better, her last the letter, before prefab we had, she had, we were all together. Boy, you should have seen what we had. Rock and tumble, got cuff and crumpy, had a crumpled up fire on a subway grate. Time is moving on, the future's coming closer, till her history is a sad to plunder from the past. That
I told her this, I told her that, I told her this, I told her that, I told her this, I told her that.
Everybody's gonna be the same. Everybody's gonna be the same today. Everybody's gonna be the same. Everybody's gonna be the same someday. Everybody's gonna be the same. Everybody's gonna be the same today. Everybody's gonna be the same. Everybody's gonna be the same someday.
I've got a friend who is made for the future. Adopter, metaverse builder, redesigned his DNA, he's ready for his implant. You think that's something, yeah, you see nothing, day by, AI, I can live forever, and I'm not even at your AI. Time is moving on, and history comes with it, his tomorrow's a fact, it wasn't built to last.
Everybody's gonna be the same. Everybody's gonna be the same today. Everybody's gonna be the same. Everybody's gonna be the same someday. Everybody's gonna be the same. Everybody's gonna be the same today. Everybody's gonna be the same. Everybody's gonna be the same someday.
Government, and there's no poverty. One race for all, same color, someday appear. They share the wealth equally, there'll still be assholes. But once we're abolishing slavery, we're already halfway there. I would give it another 400 years. Give or take maybe 100 years.
Everybody's gonna be the same. Everybody's gonna be the same today. Everybody's gonna be the same. Everybody's gonna be the same someday. Everybody's gonna be the same. Thank you.
Everybody's Gonna Be the Same, everybody. It is off of the fourth and final album.
I love it.
It is of the Anthem and Anthems and Antithets series. I'm getting there, but this is the album Rhapsody and Filigree, the fourth one, right? So we've got Brian Woodbury here.
That's
Brian,
cool.
I love that song. And how the rhythm just speeds up and the words. Do you feel like plastic surgeons are going to rule the world one day? Like that's...
I think it might be worse than that, but we'll see.
You know, when you look at some of the results, like sometimes there's these things on these papers we get, newspapers online that you get, and then they show you all the movie stars, especially women, who have had plastic surgery. And I just have to say, stop it. What are you doing
like
to your mouth? No,
the before and after and then after, right?
Yeah, and they look
right.
Like bloopers. You know
oh,
that
yeah,
big
it's like
fish
the
with the big lip?
One day it's going to sag, man.
Stop
your busky and your boobies are going to sag with your tattoos.
Well, they don't show you that. They just show you these big lips. And I'm like, how big do you want your
they're
lips
gonna
to be?
They're going to sag. They're going to sag over the, you know. But this is it. We're trying to make ourselves, we're starting to look more and more like aliens, like the typical alien face,
it's
the green
true.
One with the eyes. The more we keep
yeah,
pushing
true.
Our skin back, we're going to look like aliens, but with big lips.
Yep, like that. I have to say,
I mean,
my grandmother,
look,
I used to live half with my parents. I have to say, you know, that everything is going to be, everybody's going to be the same. My grandmother, I used to live half time with my parents, half time with her. Next door to her was an Italian family, and they had kids the same age as my brother and I, so we would talk to them at the fence, and she'd go, get in here, get in there. I'm like, what? And she's like, no, you can't talk to them. They're different than us. I mean, okay,
oh, wow.
She's British. They're Italian. I'm not
right.
seeing the difference.
Right.
And
right.
she's like, no, you can't be with them because everybody will come out the same. What?
Oh, wow.
She said that's what's going to
yeah.
happen in the world.
Like,
we're all going to
yeah,
look the same. We're all going to be putty colored. That's
putty
what she said.
That's
you know,
said.
Sorry, this
like,
is what our ancestors did. It doesn't mean that's how we believe and feel or whatever. But,
no,
but
exactly,
in a way, who
yeah.
cares if we're all mixed
but,
colored? I don't care.
Isn't
yeah.
that weird?
I don't care. I mean,
I think it's
so
kind of
weird.
I think it's kind of inevitable.
Yeah. I'm tired of my white, you know, pinky skin. Like,
well, there's
new.
Such a thing as tanning.
Well, that doesn't, that's called red face to me. Or I have a glass of wine and then I walk around with red face. It doesn't matter. I'm just going to be red face. I do have Indian blood in me, so I can say
funny.
That. But no, it's isn't it weird? But. So tell us, sorry, we kind of just started talking about your song. So tell us about the inspiration for your song now that we told you are.
Really?
Yeah, it was kind of that. It was just kind of the idea that we are sort of, I feel like in some way we are sort of, the human race is going to be more together at some point than it is right now mm-hmm. and be more, you know, unified and egalitarian in some way, but at the same time, it was also the idea that everyone has this, you know, obsessive idea about either the past or the future. So
mm-hmm.
I sort of made these characters, you know, sort of straw man characters, really, the friend who's you know, into nostalgia and wanting to bring back, you know, the past in some way, and then the other friend who wants to you know arrange for his implants and you know become you know a sort of hybrid being and you know
mm-hmm.
program the DNA. And so the idea that there's sort of these faulty ideas of what the past, you know, not really accurate ideas of what the past was
mm-hmm.
or what the future is going to be, but that in some way, you know, we're all sort of on this road to maybe slightly more unified, you know, egalitarian future. That was it's kind of the idea for the song. I wrote the song many, many years ago in a different
mm-hmm.
version, a sort of less thought out version. And I always liked it, but never was happy with how it came out. So I, you know, I actually wrote it in 1987
oh, wow.
or something like that. When I, right when my wife and I first had moved to New York. And I was just sort of listening to a lot of, you know, exciting music, and I was actually just getting into Latin music, listening to a lot of salsa because they play that on the radio all the time there. And the song, and when I revived the song this, you know, for this album, I thought, you know, let's make it, give it a real Latin feel. So I called up a friend who I'd played with in New York, or who had recorded with me in New York, Emmadine Rivera, who's like, he that's what he does. He's the Latin percussionist. He plays all these things. And I said, let's do this like a real, you know, kind of with a lot of Latin feels. And it goes from feel to feel. It speeds up, slows down and stuff. But he played all the, he played all that percussion instrument and really gave it
and
that
it
feel.
Speeds up. It's wild.
It does. It does. It does have a lot of tempo changes. And I noticed when that one is I sing the verses myself, and then the choruses are sung with my friend Jonathan Feinberg sings the lead in the choruses. And I found that when we had done a little demo of it with just my little percussion mock-up, and when we got the real track in, it didn't fit with, when we got the real percussion track in, the vocals didn't fit with how, the way we sang it. So we had to redo the vocals so that they fit with the feel of the percussion. And I think it really,
so
it's really
like
interesting and really telling to me, because often I work with my keyboards and my, MIDI studio and everything's, very precise and quantized and locked into place. But then when you have real musicians playing it, it gives it a, there's breathing room, and
it's like everybody can be the same. Cha, cha, cha.
Yeah.
It's a cool song. I mean, everyone, you have to listen to the whole album, because like I said, it's like the M&Ms. So you know the M&M store, what I'm talking about then, right, being in New York? Have you been to the M&M store?
I don't think I've ever been in the M&M store.
You must go to the M&M store. I've never been there, but I've tasted the result. Like, I'm serious, because it's different. And it is really mind-blowing what you've put together, all the different rhythms. You've got harmonies, you've got melodies. I mean, you've got, which obviously is good music, but... I mean, you've got different people on there. You've got your Johnny Unicorn, but you've got a lot of different musicians, singers that you've got
brought
on. So, I mean, it's a pandemic project of four albums, but a lot of people, are they all on four albums?
I've got a lot of the same people on the four albums, but there's some people, there's some people who are only on one or two of them. And, the same thing with the co-writers. I've worked with different co-writers on some songs, so I work with some of the same people on different songs. Some of them.
Okay, I want to play this just for fun. Okay, I know we're not supposed to do more than three, but can we? I want to play the honorable mention, because you've got these little nuggets of joy. You've got all sizes of songs on here, right? And so this one to me is funny, and they should play this at every award show, just for some fun. Like, here it is. Take a listen. The honorable mention. And I just laughed because a friend of mine just went to the Academy Awards Museum in L.A., and her and her baby and husband did their own honorable mention thing in the museum. Like, last night, I'm looking at this, and I'm going, what are the odds here? But take a listen. The honorable mention. And I know politicians who want to give themselves the honorable mention. Just,
oh,
I don't know them personally, I don't want to. But here it is.
I'm so humble.
Humble.
I'm humiliated. The fact we can't share the world around.
I really hate it.
But to you, my brilliant fellow nominee, I submit, surrender all. Get down on my knees. Then to each one on my team, I pledge my eternal servitude. Couldn't do it without you, though I take the golden statue. You deserve it too. Moving on to those who've stuck with me, I'm honored by how true you are. I'd like to thank you all by name, but you know who you are to all my fans and
You know,
that is so classic. It reminds me of people on Facebook on their birthday, and they can't keep up with everyone's happy birthdays, and they go, I'm so honored. Thank you so – I mean, and they are. I mean, it's not – I'm not being mean, but it is
right.
Like, what do you do with all of that? And I can't go back and you know, spend a full day thanking each one of you, but I'm trying,
right.
But I can't.
That's
yeah.
Right.
But it's I think we should – that should become a face. Can you make that a birthday thing?
I just see it as I would like to take the video clip of Chris Rock and Will Smith and put it with that.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
You know what? I actually just this morning I was grabbing the video of the La La Land Moonlight fiasco at the Academy Awards from a few years ago, where they first announced that La La Land won Best Picture, and then all the guys from La La Land come up, and the producers are thanking everybody, and then they say, wait, we read the wrong envelope. It was Moonlight that won the Academy Award, and then they're with, you know, great chagrin, or sort of one of the producers is kind of not, is like really
that's
pissed,
funny.
And when he realizes, oh, no, I'm wrong, we lost.
So I was
grabbing that clip because I want to maybe use that for the video for this song. So
yeah.
Oh my gosh, you've got to do a video for it because you have to. It's your videos are so cool and that will.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine how this will go around for so many things, not just Grammys, Oscars, etc. But I mean, the awards. You know, we watch awards. We don't even know who half the people are on half of
no,
them. Like,
not
yeah,
anymore.
Honestly, but you're just watching for some weird thing to happen.
For
and if it's all nice
trip.
And sweet, it's so boring.
Trip.
It's like, I like watching the music awards because they're cool. They're fun. The musicians get out there and do weird outfits and do some weird stuff. But, like, actors just aren't as, like, wonky as musicians. Sorry.
Yeah.
There's so many award shows too. And the thing that inspired the song is that they always, you know, when they win, they say, "I'm so humbled." And to me, that's not what humble doesn't mean. That I think at least when I was in third grade, when they taught us the word humble, that was not how it was used. So
that's funny.
You know.
No. It's. And at the same time, like, when you think of all these award shows, what if we had a political award show?
Oh,
like,
Lord.
Where we could give an award
Lord.
To the smallest penis, going back to that.
Yeah, I like
the biggest
a-hole.
To the ones who actually did something versus put money in their pockets. We could give awards to the people who made the most money out of like, don't you think that could flip the channel, like, a little bit on what's going on in the world? Like, and who has the worst hair? Let's talk about hair. I mean, we could go, I mean, who's been a groper? I mean, between all of them. Who's, come on, we could give, I mean, just the categories alone, it's almost like a game of Jeopardy.
Oh, okay. So you've got the sneakiest groper, the sneak attack. We have to have
the
a sneak
allowed
attack.
Groper.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of gropers. There's, I mean, we could go to town on that.
I would like to see a cartoon of a politician with double speak, like, you know, saying two things at the same time.
Well, yeah,
like one mouth but
tongue.
Two tongues. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. Cool.
So, you know, when you were talking about the first track on the album and Theseus Rex.
Theseus Rex,
and,
yeah,
and you were talking about it's like almost like a cartoon thing, like if you
well like a like
you,
a like a comic like a comic book like a
yeah
sort
comic
of graphic
book, like,
novel kind of thing with it sort of
yeah.
Did you ever read
you know,
Mad
almost,
magazine?
Oh yeah. I used to
like,
when I was a kid. Yeah.
Yeah. So now, could you kind of? Do you think you could take some of your music and do like a digitally graphic Mad
like
magazine
interaction?
Yeah, like I don't know, because some of the what I'm reading, they're not in paper as much, and well there are, but the whole comic book thing is going kind of video, digital video kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So, and with music, and a friend of ours, Mae Edwards, did this to open the awareness of being gay in L.A. and moving there from small towns and doing, she did this whole booklet, but it was a video with music and actors and it, as a cartoon, like not a cartoon, but a comic. So would you see doing this? Anything?
I'm actually trying to, I'm trying to make a comic book sort of video of Theseus Rex, actually. Yeah. I'm trying to, I'm trying to like maybe if, and actually I may try to do it as a like a Indiegogo campaign to because it's kind of expensive to have that many drawings, but like make a, make actual physical copies of the comic book. That would be like one of the perks of donating to the campaign. But I'm not 100% sure I can do that. It's just, it's a big undertaking. It's a lot of drawing.
It's huge.
And
yeah, it's
so
big. But our friend May,
she, I'll connect you guys, man. She was a editor for Disney and stuff. Like, she's won game show things, Emmy Awards for all of that stuff, and now she's doing a whole other thing in life. But she all of that up her sleeve, so I'm connecting you. I know it's got nothing to do with the radio show right now, but I, you know, because as soon as I was listening to what you've put together, I mean, this is, to me, like the tip of the iceberg of how big of what you've put together. Like, I do see Broadway plays. Do you see that? Would you do it?
I've written some musicals that with a couple of friends of mine. So, and I'm actually working on a one-act musical right now with one of my longtime collaborators, Joe Moe. So yeah, I've always wanted to
Joe
do.
Joe Moe, dude, where are you gathering these amazing people with amazing names? All this talent, Joe Moe, Johnny Unicorn, like come on, and then
Joe Moe is his real name.
Tulasi
no
Rain. I mean, that's like, is it Tulasi or Tulasi Rain? I mean, that's a beautiful name either way.
Tulasi, yeah.
Oh my God, that's a beautiful name. That really is Bill Burnett. That's like someone thought that out. Come on. This is good stuff here.
Tulasi is, that's her first name. Her last name is a stage name.
But Tulasi Rain is beautiful. That's a,
I know, it's
that's
great.
A,
it's great.
It's amazing, amazing name.
It sounds like
Derek,
a rainforest, yeah.
Derek Day? Seriously? Like,
I think that's his real name.
Really, that's fantastic, though, right?
Yeah, it is.
This is, I mean, really, I'm not making fun. Please don't take it that way. But it's just like, wow, look at this. This is cool. But if you, I mean, it would be cool to see what you've done, acted out, and like, you know, specific. I don't know. It just would be so cool to have that. You know, that's the beauty of video too. You can do it that way, right? And do it more.
It's true. I do love live theater. I think it's
yeah,
it's so great to see. I mean, I love musicals. I just love a story on stage told through songs. So when it's done well, it's often done not so good, not so well, and I often actually hate it. But when it's, you know, I think it's my favorite art form. But I usually don't like it that much because it's so hard to do, and they don't quite get it. It's really a hard thing to do, hard to tell a story through songs that way and make it you know, interesting and not too complicated and not too simple.
Yeah.
And make us care about everybody and be, you know, hoping how it's going to come out.
You know, when you're looking at a movie and the people are acting and you're into the movie and then they break into a song, that's a really difficult transition.
It is. And it can be done. It can be done well, but it is. Yeah, it is hard. You just sort of have to create this illusion that it's okay for it to happen.
But I always go back to I have to say this, Clint Eastwood Danger Wagon walking across the prairie going, I talk to the trees, but they don't listen to me. And it was such,
So what, you thought it didn't work for you?
No, I liked it. I thought it was a beautiful song. And
yeah,
I talk to trees. But
they do listen.
Here's this cowboy dude. He's rough and tumble and don't mess with me. Make my day punk. I talk to the trees.
Oh, my God. Now,
there's
okay,
some disconnect
so,
there, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a little...
I want to know about the Golden Hour. Like, I love this song, The Golden Hour.
The Golden Hour, yeah.
It takes me back to, like, a mining camp. Like, we used to live up in a gold mining town in San Diego. It's called Julian.
Oh, you did?
Apple pie. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I remember. We used to go to Julian when
cool.
my wife and I lived in San Diego.
Right on. Okay, that's where our magazine started, like 25 years ago, was at San Diego.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Great.
North County, we lived in Vista for a couple years, had a band out there, and then of our magazine clients hired our band, and then we found out half our band was on drugs, and one turned out, you know, we thought was in jail for some one thing and turned out for another thing that was really bad, and we're like, okay, that's enough of that. So we're going up to the hills. And we did. We used to run, like, the Hoot Nights up there and, like, you know. But Julian was known for apple pie and beautiful hiking and a whole bunch of
and
weed. We started one wildfire and went to another and another and another. but it was magic. And when I started hearing that song, it just I went right back to Julian. Like, and they have this amazing theater company that did these community plays. And
so cool.
I don't know if you went to Pine Hills Mountain
Pine Hill Lodge.
So Jack Dempsey used to have his sparring arena in the theater there. It's where our band broke up on stage. It was pretty amazing.
Oh, wow.
Like, it was fantastic. If anybody wanted to see a play,
awesome.
Like, that was it. It was real, and it got dirty.
It was funny.
Wow, that sounds really...
And you know what? No, but the audience stood up and clapped because they thought we were acting. They didn't get we were acting.
Oh, wow.
No. Too much fun.
Our
the
bass
drummer,
player, Matt,
the,
gets down on his hands and knees, like, playing bass,
laughing.
Giggling. Nancy's playing keys, giggling. I'm trying to just sing the whole thing out, like, as loud as I can.
The,
like, the drummer and the
drummer.
Rhythm guitar were about to have sticks up. Somebody's
drummer
at some point
stood up with his drumsticks and went to the rhythm guitarist and he said, "I'm going to stick these up your nostril."
It was great.
Oh, he was the most fun drummer ever.
That was not the drummer we had before, who was
That wasn't our regular drummer.
Disgustingly dirty, but that drummer was such a little.
Well, okay, let's figure. What was the song that you were doing?
Oh gosh,
Sweet Madam Blue by Styx.
So maybe you can blame the song.
No, I mean, it was, do you know what it's like to sing that as the only person? And then the other guy that's supposed to doing the harmony, like Sweet Madam Blue, like that guy's not there because he's getting drumsticks up his nose. And I'm supposed to stand up there and go, America.
And I'm just laughing.
And our friends in the back who ran the theater, they were running the bar. And they're going,
like,
rum and cokes, Felicia.
They're yelling out, we're making you doubles.
Yeah. But anyway, but your song, The Golden Hour, just reminds me of that town. So tell us, we're not going to play it because we do have, I'm sorry, but we have to play.
No, boy.
Sure.
I personally just want to know about this song because
This Golden Hour is actually about, you know, Golden Hour. We talk about Golden Hour in Hollywood terms. Mm. That's the perfect light that you get right after the sun sets, where it's still light in the sky. And I guess there's actually a Golden Hour in the morning just before the sun rises, where everything, anyhow, the idea is, or with the phenomena is that everything kind of has a glow to it. It's sort of bright enough that you can see, but it has a beautiful glow.
It's soft.
Yeah. And so the song is actually about the golden hour that exists in the Bay Area where I'm from. And there's just a special light in the Bay Area to me that is unique to any place I've ever been, unique from any other place I've been. And I started thinking about the golden hour, and I started thinking, what did the first, you know, well, I started, actually, the song starts with the 49ers coming there and the people who went in, who moved there for the gold rush. And but what did they, you know, once they found the gold, or where they didn't find gold, most of them, but once they, you know, tried to seek their fortune there, what did, what made them stay? And I thought part of it is, you know, this the golden light, this beautiful quality that California has, and particularly the Bay Area has, that, you know, it's, and it is embodied in that that golden hour in the song. And then the song travels to the early film industry, when the film, before film was centered in Hollywood, they started off making silent films in New Jersey. And then they briefly moved to Niles Canyon in the Bay Area and shot films. And I think they shot a lot of films outdoors in those days and used the natural light. And I know that that golden hour is probably very useful to them when they're shooting those films. So then it goes on to the how my parents, both from the East Coast, gravitated to the Bay Area and met. And then it sort of tells that story. And then at the end, it goes way back to the first indigenous Americans who came to, you know, who settled in the Bay Area, and what did they make of the light? And the idea is we've all shared this light and, you know, shared that connection, and it's all, and that's what the song is about. So it's a big kind of amorphous song about that.
Oh, I have to play it now. Wow. That's it. We're going to have to close with that. But I wanted to play our cattywampus world. Because,
yeah.
Nancy, you know, when we pet sit, there's certain cats. And Nancy goes, kitty, 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 wampus.
That's funny.
No, so I really wanted to play that. But I really, because our cattywampus world. I know, but we're gonna play the golden hour. It's beautiful. And actually, it's almost golden hour here. Not really. We've got a couple hours where we are now, but we're in Maryland. Yeah, playing
are
with
you?
Two crazy, cool, awesome pups. Yes, Pip and Hamish.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
They snore, bark, and fart.
Well,
so
sounds
we
like
have
dogs.
A doggy-doggy wampus world right now.
Well,
but,
Pit bull and a French bulldog, they really need to be cartoon characters. They're perfect.
They are really characters. But, Brian, it has been beyond a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much. And please
keep us
posted.
It's been a hoot for me, too.
Good. You come back anytime, you know, if you whatever you do with your next projects, please come back. And also, if you do something with Theseus Rex, let us know. Whatever we can do,
we'll do.
We're in.
Yeah.
This is you just what a joy. Like for us, we're just like, okay, this is meaty good. This is meaty tasty, but it's got M&M magic, right? So that have you ever been on a show where people compare your music to M&M's?
No,
Frank Zappa.
I have to say this
That's
is the first.
Well, you know.
Yeah, no, it's been real a pleasure for me. It's great talking to you.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank
Here
you.
It is, everyone. This golden hour, don't forget, go to brianwoodbury.com. So the whole box set comes out July 25th. You can get the first three albums now, but go pre-order the fourth one. And that's called Rhapsody in Filigree. And again, the whole the whole series is called, say it, Brian, go for it. You're going to say it better than me.
Anthems and antithets.
Antithets.
Wow. Okay, I'm going to say that at wine time tonight three times
and see if
I can do it. With red wine, I'm sure I can do it. All right, so everyone, again, brianwoodbury.com, and don't get confused with the other one. Just go to brianwoodbury.com, and that's B-U-R-Y, by the way, instead of B-E-R-R-Y. He's not into that kind of very, like, he's got doppelgangers. And by the way, that's the middle name of our car, Doppelganger.
Oh, good.
Just cracking up. And, of course, everyone, keep up with us at BigBlendRadio.com. We want to thank the National Parks Arts Foundation for being the sponsor of today's show. They are awesome. If you're an artist, musician, screenwriter, writer, photographer, poet, it doesn't matter what you do in the arts. Apply to go and stay in an artist residency for one full month in national park units across the country, places like Hawaii Volcanoes National Park, where you get to stay in a, what, 5 to 6 bedroom house with a recording studio overlooking the ocean.
It's really
for a
cool.
month. Dry Tortugas on Loggerhead Key, your own private island. There's mm-hmm. places like Chaco Canyon in northern New Mexico. So check it out. It's really incredible. Go to nationalparksartsfoundation.org and listen to our show with them every first Friday, where we interview artists in residence, and it's always just mind-blowing, amazing. So nationalparksartsfoundation.org, here it is in the golden hour. Thank you so much. You take care, Brian.
Thank you both so much.
It was fun. Thank you.
Bye.
Gold, they came in search of gold, 49ers, oversea and fruited plain. Gold more than any bank could hold, and where it panned out, mine every nugget, sluice and vein, till none remain. Who, as the aura left those skies, in the gloaming felt the magic light arise. Stay to the full and never be done, this golden hour, this lambent sun. Stay to the full, forever rerun, this golden hour, this setting sun. Cold, they fled the Jersey cold for Nile Canyon, to cast the world in batter light. Unfolding as the sprocket scrolls, rolling action, praising the rays of nearly night, a perfect sight. What in the blazing day's demise could be captured of the world a camera spies?
Pawn shop guitar that you strung upside down to play by Frisco Bay.
A sailor paroled from the war, from Japan to this Golden Gate shore, for a smoke at the end of the trail. The folks, those whose songs tell the tale, and you learn every note of the tune on that old guitar. Coffee bar, you can't beat poets' race for the black and gold plates on your car. And belonging where you are, dear, you and mom are both drawn first to me, then to marry and fond this climb to the top of Mount Dam. How I'm now the eye that I am in gold. In the face, and the sage and the brush, you assume that penumbral refrain, where the bloom had infused the terrain with a hue. Is this glow linger on inside you, where that dust came to dawn? breeze flows to a wilderness unnamed. Bold adventurers untold.
Wagma alone is
gone, and each creek has now been tamed, and the sky in flames. Stay beautiful and never be done. This golden hour, this lamp and sun. Golden bows before it goes to black. Every epic folds another back. Every bend finds the end of the shrine.